If you're hurting today, maybe feeling pretty anxious in terms of a relationship, maybe even more than anxious, you're just stressed out, disappointed, a lot of strain, things aren't working the way you want them to work, I can almost guarantee you that up front of all that is an unmet expectation. An unmet expectation. So how do you manage expectations? We know that when it's not met, whatever it may be, it creates disappointment. How do you deal with disappointment in your life? We got help for you today. We're going to get really practical. We got callers ready to go. You can share your story on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Andrew's here. Steven's here. I'm here. We love you guys. And more than anything, I want by the end of these 28 minutes for you to walk away and say, hey, I've been encouraged. I feel more hopeful. I feel more hope in my life. And I've got some ideas that are going to work for me. We're talking about expectations. When they work, it's great. When they don't, it's a real problem.
I expected marriage to be perfection, that we would always get along and always be happy.
This white picket fence of this perfect family that you expect to have and believe that it should be. And I think we put those beliefs on movies or anything that we watch that it should be a certain way.
Oh, I expected marriage to be sugar plums and lots of fun and no heartache, no hard decisions, and just bliss. It's wonderful, but it's not just that.
So my first marriage, I was 18 years old, and I think my expectations were more built around being independent, being out from underneath my parents.
I am currently married to a second man. So this time around, there were less expectations because there were more things that I had hoped for and things that I realized I had to work for.
One of the things I expected about my marriage is that we would end up sharing common interests. And we ended up doing that. My wife liked geology and history and archaeology. And I like old stuff and rocks too.
I expected marriage to be like a long, long honeymoon where everything was happy and no problems and we just grew old together.
Yeah, what do you expect? Listen, you ever hear that? What did you expect? You know? And it's at that point, the corner of expectations and reality, that so many good and bad things can happen. Difficult things happen in relationships. So we want to clarify expectations. That's part of what we're talking about today as we think about how to have realistic expectations. You know, there's plenty of research that shows that the extent of the expectations we have when they're not met, that it can create some bad results. For instance, career success. Maybe you're in a business and you expect to be a CEO or you expected to be in a certain position to hold a title in the company. And it's interesting that only 1% of professionals ever make it to that level that they anticipate, which can create disappointment. Closer to home is marriage relationships. The expectation of a, as you just heard, maybe a lifelong happy marriage is common, yet divorce still is a very significant problem and increasing. Or even more so, people not even getting married. People start a business, you're an entrepreneur, and you had a great expectation that your business would be in demand and would work greatly, and yet 90% of startups fail, according to a startup research study. Maybe it's financial goals. Many people set very ambitious financial goals, maybe retiring early, achieving, you know, that $1 million status. But according to the Federal Reserve survey of consumer finances back in 22, only 13% of U.S. households ever reached that level. Outcomes are often outside of our control, no matter how hard we work or want to make something happen. And some of this is coming from an article from Dr. Charles Chafin in Psychology Today magazine publication. And it's true. And so if anything, we want you to be able to deal with expectations in a healthy way. All right. You're welcome to join us on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Steven's on the line in Iowa. Hi, Steven.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for your call. Talking expectations. What have you learned or what are you facing with this?
The expectation that I had was when I got married that love would conquer all, and that if there were big problems that we would sit down and we would discuss them, whether it be just with ourselves or with a third party. And once my wife started really suffering from anxiety and depression and OCD, the medication was what was supposed to take care of it. And so far, that is all that's been administered is medication.
Yeah. So how have you dealt with the disappointment of this?
Well, since 2016 in November, I haven't really seen the person that much. Mm. And since 2018 January, I'm not related to that person anymore. All her choice.
So you had an expectation you're going to have a happy marriage. It doesn't turn out. She's not well. And so how are you dealing with the disappointment that that whole thing, the whole marriage just fell apart, didn't work?
There was a lot of grief. I'm still slowly working on the, it wasn't your fault. They just wouldn't open up to the healing that you were offering. That's still a struggle. Yeah. I've heard it in my ears several times that you weren't the cause of the problem and all that. And I think I probably got it 50% down to the left side of my chest, but I need to get it the rest of the way there.
Yeah. I think to add to that, Stephen, one of the things we can do is this little 3-foot rule that I talk about. I picture it in my mind. I actually have in our, over here in our conference area for our staff, we got a 3-foot rug, and whenever I teach, I like to stand on the 3-foot rug because it's a visual reminder to me that this is about all I can control. I can control about as far as I reach, right? I can control what comes out of my mouth, what goes into my mouth, what I think, what I handle my emotions, and basically what I do. But beyond that, I can't control my wife, Donna, even though I like to sometimes because that's just who I am. Come on. That's who we are, or my kids or grandkids or anyone. I can only control myself. And so when we talk about this thing of trying to forgive myself and realize people saying, you know, it wasn't your fault and so on, you know, the best response to that in my view is in any relationship, we can always stop and say, what do I learn about me? I'm in my 3 feet here. What did I learn about this thing that went wrong? It can happen in work. It can happen in marriage. It can happen with kids. It can happen just accidentally with somebody in church on a Sunday. What do we learn when something goes wrong? So it's not so much applying who is at fault and who's to blame, because in life, the reality is we all contribute in one way or another to something, right? And so it comes, I think the healthiest thing is to, we're talking about expectations. Say, okay, this wasn't met. Why wasn't it met? What do I learn about setting expectations? And what do I learn for myself about me? Boy, if we can learn from this kind of thing, we can take it into another relationship in a healthy way. Great insight. Thank you, Stephen, for sharing your story with us.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Buried emotions are buried alive. Emotions are like living things, and you know, every living thing demands attention. We kid ourselves when we believe that stuffing an emotion will make it go away. It doesn't. Your day can be going along great and then seemingly out of left field, you get blindsided by a triggering experience. Maybe it's a word or name of a person, and boom, that dead emotion comes roaring back to life. The Apostle Paul gave us a powerful solution when he wrote, "Be angry, but do not sin." Your emotions are like gasoline, and under control, it can move a mountain. Out of control, it will destroy everything that you value. Come join me at the Night of Hope to discover how managing your emotions will change your life and your family. Night of Hope, coming to Glendale, Arizona on June 6th. Join me and recording artist Jordan St. Cyr. You can go to theintentionallife.com for your tickets right now. All right, that's 2 weeks from right now. Can't believe it. We're here. Excited. Jordan St. Cyr. I'm looking forward to hearing his story and his music. You hear it on the radio on a regular basis. And I get a chance to do some specific teaching lessons on how we can take the principles of intentional living and unleash them in our lives. We're going to talk about things like dealing with expectations, how to deal with our emotions. We talk about head, heart, and hand, how we think, how we emote our emotions, and then our hand really being our habits, our head, heart, and habits. These things are powerful. And if you want to grow in your marriage, you want to grow in your own personal life, or maybe you're a single person, come and be a part of this evening. Bring some friends with you. Limited seating. It's at the Haven Church, Glendale, Phoenix area. 2 weeks from now, June 6th, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Talking about expectations today. And Judy in Arizona, appreciate your call. Tell us a little bit about how expectations have been sort of helping you.
My mother-in-law has moved in with us. And while it could be fraught with landmines to step on, I am very thankful and very blessed that we all have Christ in our heart. And what we always do is that we clarify expectations. And we've kind of made it a joke now. Okay, we're clarifying expectations. What are you expecting out of this? What am I expecting out of this? When I say this, this is what I intend, but how is it coming across to you? It's made a big difference, because so far we're about 6 months in and still everybody is loving each other and not despising each other. So I consider that a really good thing, and I'm praying that we continue, because every day is a new day, and every day can bring challenges, but it can also bring amazing blessings if you're open for it.
Smart lady, Judy. You're a smart lady, because if you guys are clarifying expectations on a regular basis, especially in a relationship that could be fraught with a lot of difficulty, you know, having mom move in with you and in-laws moving in, boy, if you don't get it clear when the young adults come back into the home or the family comes in, if you don't clarify those boundaries and those relationships and those expectations, it just, oh boy, it destroys relationships. It really does. All right, talking the whole thing about expectations, let's go to Arizona on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and one thing I learned from a blended family is that my mom tried to raise my younger stepbrother and my younger stepsister the same way that she raised my older brother and I. And she had behavior problems with my younger brother and my younger sister because of that. So my suggestion is the parents do not try and raise each other's kids the same way that they raise their own kids and have the same expectations. They need to have patience and grace with each one's kids.
Yeah, that's right. We've taught that over the years. Every child is different. Birth order, gender, built-in personality. We were talking before the show, I was mentioning to Andrew about that passage that says, train up a child in the way they should go, that we see in Proverbs. What that really means to us is find out what the unique bent is. We have some trees in our yard, and you see they kind of bend in a certain direction. And yeah, you want to pull them back so they live and go straight. But at the same time, they tend to always bend. Have you ever noticed where we live in Tucson, where there's a lot of these tall cactus, they all start to bend toward the sun. It's interesting. You start to see them bending toward the sun. And now you can pull them back, but they keep bending toward the sun. And kids have that sort of unique bent. We can guide them and love them, but understanding that not all kids are the same. It's a great reminder for us today. All right, continuing on here, we're going to go to Tiffany. Thank you for your call. What's your question today?
I'm not married yet, but my boyfriend and I talk about heading that direction. Uh-huh. And I've known him for over 10 years. We just started dating about 7 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, I found out that he was replying to texts from his ex-girlfriend and kind of broke my trust, obviously, because he knew how I felt about him communicating with her. And I guess I've just been kind of battling with that. I feel sometimes that I have passed it and then something will bring it back up. And I guess I just kind of want to know, how do I deal with it? How do I make that go away completely forever? And what can I do to be, you know, intentional on fixing what I need to fix within myself?
Well, let me ask you, Tiffany, do you have reason to believe that this was once in a lifetime experience with him and he blew it and you guys have gotten to the core of it and he's a changed person and you have reason to trust him in the future?
I honestly do. I know it was a mistake. Right. I know I do feel that he, you know, just didn't know how to handle it. And
I say that because there's people saying, well, Tiffany, I mean, you know, run, get away from this guy. He's mm-hmm. a jerk. You don't need him and that kind of thing. But, we all face challenges and we have to make decisions. If you truly have gotten to the core and you think and you're really convinced he has and the two of you have had some reconciliation, there's been a process of forgiveness, then it's an inside job for you, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, and that I know. That's what I've been struggling with. And I'm kind of like lost. I don't know what exactly to do.
Mm-hmm. What happened when that happened? I mean, what happened inside of you that's making this so difficult? Is this a new experience, or have you wrestled with trust from childhood?
I guess I have. I have with other people. I mean, never in a relationship like this. I've never mm-hmm. really been cheated on that I know of. I think it's more just we have such a long history of friendship, and that's all it's ever been for over 10 years. I think I had so much high expectation in him that I never thought that he would, you know, do anything to hurt me that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because everything, you know, any little mistake or whatever, it feels like it's kind of amplified with him compared to like anyone else in my life, just because I guess I don't expect it from him because he's like, you know, normally like the sweetest guy and I've trusted him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I know it has to do a lot with me and inside.
Yeah, it does, but I also totally appreciate the fact that he broke your trust. And when you break trust and expectations not met, you're not reasonable for him to think that you're going to be able to trust him right away again. This is a process. Why is it that we continue to hurt each other? Why is it that we get into a relationship and then we choose to violate that relationship? We pay for it. They pay for it. My spirit pays for it. Kids pay for it. And it really is so unnecessary. And so we'll be praying for you, Tiffany. In fact, it looks like Erin has called in. We're going to get to her right after the break. Erin wants to respond. Apparently, she went through something similar and has some words for you. Maybe more clarifying and helpful than mine. We'll be right back.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our life, we're in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
A night of music, laughter, and hope. It's Family Life Radio's Night of Hope, Friday, June 6th with Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can experience more peace and hope and joy in your relationships, and I'm going to show you how to do that at the Night of Hope.
You'll also hear inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale. Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at myflr.org.
That's right. At not only myflr.org, the radio station network, of course, putting this on, but also through our ministry here at Intentional Life Media, all together the same, right? But a different website at The Intentional Life. Now that I confused you, just go to theintentionallife.com and you can get the tickets today. Night of Hope, 2 weeks from now in Glendale, theintentionallife.com, talking about expectations, the formula X minus R equals D, expectations minus reality equals disappointment. Tiffany, you had some, you've moved to a new normal. I mean, your boyfriend has certainly violated the relationship. What do you do? How do you rebuild trust? Maybe you can't. Maybe it's impossible. Be realistic. Be honest with yourself. Aaron wants to weigh in to add the discussion. So Aaron, welcome to the program. What would you say to Tiffany about expectations?
I would just say that, you know, my husband and I, we went through a very similar situation in the beginning of our marriage. We struggled with very similar trust issues, and it's important to lay out the expectations that that type of behavior is just not acceptable and it will not be tolerated. It's also not a wanting to make that relationship work on Tiffany's part. It's a willingness on his part to do what is necessary to rebuild that trust.
Yeah.
In our marriage, I had good days and I had bad days, and the bad days were very frequent in the beginning. And you just have to learn to hand it over to God if staying together is what is important at the end of the day, and you want to forgive and move on.
Now, when you say you had this before, similar to what you just heard from Tiffany, how did you deal with that?
It was hard. We talked about it. We talked about it a lot. It came up frequently in, you know, the several months preceding the incident, and it took just a lot of him trying to reaffirm that he wanted to be with me and that it wasn't important about these other people. Mm-hmm. And he made the choice to cut those people out of his life, which was a big step on his part to show that he was, in fact, serious about our relationship. And as we continue to move forward, I mean, I still have bad days. I called them, I love you today, but I don't like you today.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that because of lack of trust, or you just haven't been able to forgive or let go of those that time?
It's the lack of trust. I refer to them as enemy attacks. You know, I feel like the enemy is trying to seep in and create turmoil in our house and in our marriage. And those days are just emotional days. They've gotten better. They're farther and fewer in between, but I really haven't reached a point where it's just gone away completely. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it ever will. But you know, my husband's intentional act towards remediating the situation, he does a lot of freelance work. So he's gone for, you know, sometimes 12 or 13 hours a day, and he'll send me pictures of the work that he's doing so that I know that he's where he says he is, and he's with who he says he's with. So it alleviates some of those trust concerns, because he knows that it's an issue and that it will be a potential lifelong issue that we have to work towards.
And as I hear you say, you understand he's being faithful. You're just struggling with the history and feeling just that Satan attacking you, as you say, with this trust issue for yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's you know, but, and I don't know how, you know, current and recent the situation is with Tiffany, if it's a current situation. You know, she's experiencing the emotions as they come, and it's a lot. I can appreciate that. So it just takes time and a willingness on both parties to do what's necessary to rebuild that relationship.
Yeah, that's really a great reminder to us. You know, I was picturing this thing, Aaron, of you had a certain picture of your husband. And in that picture was trust and loyalty and all these things. And all of a sudden, because of his behavior, something he did, you had to reframe that whole picture. You're in the process of reframing your husband into a new frame. And ultimately, of course, the goal would be to have a frame that doesn't lock him into being a prisoner. But at the same time, I would say to him, understand that you're in a new frame now, and you have a responsibility and an opportunity to rebuild that relationship of trust, but it's going to take time and patience. Expectations. Wow. All right. I think we have time for one more. Let's go over to Kansas. Linda is on the line. Linda, welcome to the program. What do you got for us today on expectations?
Well, this came a long time ago to me, and I'm not sure by whom, but anyway, I have lived by the philosophy of not expecting too much of my husband. He's now deceased, but my husband or anyone, because if you don't have great expectations and it doesn't happen, you're not going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. If it does exceed your expectations, then you're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, that needs to be repeated, because, and I know we have to have expectations, but listen to what Linda's telling you. If you have reasonable expectations or lower expectations, then when something happens, you're going to feel better about it than if your expectations are unrealistic. Now, when you look back on that, did that work for you, or do you say, well, I should have had a few more expectations in life?
You know, it worked for me. There were times when I was pretty proud of my husband for just remembering our anniversary, just remembering it. You know, I can tell you that when my first child was born, I had never been given a rose, and I love red roses. Well, he brought it, came into my hospital room with a red carnation, but it was, you know, his intention was good.
It was just the wrong flower, but his intention was good.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And then we get home, and, you know, and it's like, oh, I don't know who messed up the house. It's just a mess. And it's like, honey, I have not been here to follow you around picking up after you. You know, but like I said, if you don't expect too much, then you're not going to always be disappointed. You get married and the two become one, but I don't think you can become of one mind.
Yeah.
Not all the way.
That's good. That's true. And boy, there is a balance, isn't there? Because your expectations can be too low, or they can be reasonable, or they can be too much. So what are yours? Where are you today? What have you learned? How are you going to apply this to your life and your marriage? Well, we got to run. There's the theme. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. 2 weeks from the Night of Hope, coming to Glendale in Phoenix area, Haven Church, 7 o'clock, Friday night, June 6th. Tickets available today at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. We'll talk more about expectations there as well. Thank you, Andrew, for your help today. And Jennifer will be back next time. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you all for being a part of the ministry and for your prayers and support. Intentional Living is here for you, and it's made possible because of the ministry of Intentional Life Media. Have a great day.